to you, O Lord.
And the gospel reading we're looking at is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. And if you have a church Bible, it's on page 1045. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he turned and said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And so he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I've no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do sit down. Well, as I warned last week, we're having a break from Colossians. The person preaching at 9 o'clock can choose from the two readings. 10:30, 6:30, we have our series, but 9 o'clock, two readings, and you can choose. And for some weeks now, the person concerned has chosen Colossians. But I couldn't resist today the story of bigger barns. He's got so much to tell us. And the actual reading, the paragraph in the Bible is headed Warnings and Encouragements. But just before we get on to the actual verses we're looking at, can I just pass on to you two verses immediately before the section we looked at? Just in passing, note, Jesus said, "I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God." I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others. That's just a few verses before the ones we're looking at today. And then immediately before the passage we're looking at, Jesus said, "When you're brought before authorities, don't worry about how you'll defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." And those are words that I've thought about and acted on many occasions. I've never been hauled before authorities in the way that Jesus is referring, but the number of times I've found myself just doing the arrow prayer, "Lord, what do I say? Lord, what do I do?" When you're brought before authorities, don't worry about how you'll defend yourselves. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. I couldn't resist those two verses. Let's move on to our main topic for today. Jesus says, "Watch out." He's talking with the great crowd. And it interested me not long ago when I looked at a great bowl by Lake Galilee. And I've always been a bit bewildered as to how Jesus managed to speak to thousands. I know myself, if you try and speak to a dozen people out in the open air, somehow the words get lost, a puff of wind or whatever. And yet Jesus spoke to thousands. And there in this great bowl, some academics had done some research and said you can whisper and the word gets right round this great bowl. It's a wonderful thought. Jesus was teaching in that way. And a man pipes up and says, oh, I've got a problem. My brother won't share dad's inheritance. Can you sort him out? And Jesus says, man, and that's quite a derogatory term. He was putting him down. Man, it's not for me to be arbiter in a situation like that. Jesus could have done something. He was able to heal people. He was able to bring people back from the dead. He could have sorted the problem out. But Jesus said, that's not for me to do. That's not for me to do. But let me tell you this story under this heading, watch out. And friend Bigger Barnes had a wonderful harvest, barns packed with wheat. I said, what am I going to do? I can't get everything in. I know what I'll do. I'll pull down the barns, I'll build bigger barns, I'll stuff the wheat in and all the other goods I've got, and that's it. I can then sit back and enjoy life, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool, tonight you're going to die. Very simple little story, but a man who was totally possessed with my goods. Where am I going to store them? What am I going to do with them? And Jesus said, you fool, you fool. Let's go back to the beginning. All things belong to God. This is in the creation story. God blessed the people and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky, all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God created, and God said to us, to human beings, it's yours to look after. Everything, the beasts of the earth, the plants, the fruit, everything is yours. It was created for us. And we need to have that as the base in our thinking as we look at this story today. Everything comes from God. The man whose crops had flourished, the Bible says, the ground produced these crops. He was the farmer, but it was the ground that produced. It was what God had laid down. And we are, and the word I constantly use, is we're like leasehold owners. I've got a flat down the road, and it's a leasehold flat. After 100 and whatever it is years, it goes back as to all the other flats in the building to the person who owns the freehold. It's a complicated story. It's just not relevant today. But that leasehold, it's mine for 100 and whatever it is years. I look after it for that period, and then at the end of that period, it goes back to the owner of the land. We are simply stewards, and therefore we need to get rid of the thinking of, well, it's my bank balance, it's my car. Yes, it is. We're looking after it. We've got the leasehold of it, but we're concerned to look after it for the person who is the owner. And David, way back in the Old Testament, he had a whip round to get money, gold, silver, to build the temple that Solomon built, Solomon's temple. And at the end of it, he was absolutely amazed at what had come in. And David said, who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we've given you only what comes from your hand. Everything belongs to God. And Jesus said, in the passage that we're looking at, just a verse after the passage we've looked at this morning, you know, look, you can't even add a day to your life. You're great people. You can do all sorts of wonderful things, but you can't even add a day to your life. We are totally under the control of God. It's the ground that produces the crops. It's not the farmer. And some other lovely verses that I couldn't resist, coming from the Psalms. Do not be overawed, says the psalmist, when others grow rich, when the splendour of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendour will not descend with them. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed, and people praise you when you prosper, they will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. Every single thing comes from God. We are stewards. We are leaseholders. We're looking after these things for him. And so Jesus goes on to develop this thought about greed. And greed is something which tends not to apply to me. I look at others and say, well, you know, he's a bit greedy. And oh my goodness, what's she? It's greed there. It's not me. I'm not greedy. And it's one of those words you can't quite describe in the way which, he or she killed somebody. Well, it's fact. They killed them. But greed, we can't easily define. It applies to somebody other than me. This guy, Bigger Barnes, in the course of four verses in the reading we had, six times said, I, and four times said, my. The whole thing dominated by I. I will pull down the bounds. I will build bigger. I will enjoy myself. Everything revolves around I, and yet where do all things come from? All things come from God. They're not his, they're God's, but I am going to do all these wonderful things. And that's when the trigger is pulled and God says, you fool, tonight you're going to die. Greed. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. I think the American Rockefeller was once asked, how much is enough? He having billions. And he said, a bit more than I've got. And isn't it true? We're looking for a bit more. We're not greedy, but a bit more would make so much difference to our life. We could do this and that and the other. If only there was a bit more. We need to ask ourselves, do we live to eat or do we eat to live? And of course, the verse that is frequently quoted and misquoted in the eyes of many, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, the love of it is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The love of money, just a bit more. It's not yours, it's God's. All things come from him. God has been incredibly good to me. Incredibly good. I've probably got a little more in the bank or more goods that I might have than I might have had if I'd had a wife that I'm told can be quite expensive. I didn't say that, I'm told that. Or children that can be even more expensive. But God has been good. He's given me a wonderful life, a great job that was a wonderful time in the City of London. And accountants tend not to be underpaid. And this is a subject that I've wrestled with, genuinely wrestled with, over the years. And I've written down here half a dozen of what I've called Blinn's principles. Just have a quick look at them, and then we'll go through them one by one. I'll have a quick look at them first, otherwise I know you'll be looking at number four or five while I'm talking about number one. The principles that I believe are ones that God has given to me. Firstly, I thank God every single day for the goods that he's put in my care, for the goods that I'm the steward of, for the goods that I'm the leasehold owner of. I have for a period of time until I depart this earth. Every single day I say, Lord, thank you. You've been so good to me. Secondly, be prepared to let everything go. And I've tried very hard to ensure that I stick to that. A few times and years gone past, there's been a possibility that I might have gone into full-time Christian ministry as a pastor or a vicar. For various reasons, I didn't. If I had, a lot of things would have gone. Certainly, there was a time when I was very keen at the thought of going overseas. During the years I spent involved with Tear Fund and the things I saw there, and I thought, there's so much I could do. And in fact, the very good friend of mine that I travelled with a lot, also an accountant, he did actually leave his job and head out to Bangladesh for over a year to act there in the office and try and sort out the chaos. Be prepared to let everything go. The goods that we have are fine. I've got a nice car sitting outside. I've got a lovely flat. But I'm prepared to let them go if the need arises. Thirdly, it all belongs to God. We've said that already. But not just 10%. At the very early days, when I was earning so little as a trainee accountant that I was relying on my parents anyway to live, I literally took 10%. I won't ask for ours all around the church, but I got £1 a week as a trainee accountant. And so 10% of that I put aside and I gave to church or Bible class or whatever. But very quickly, as years went by, I've not said 10% is God's and the rest is mine. What I've said is, how much do I need? And the rest is his. And as years have gone by, that 10% has grown and grown and grown. Until now, it's a massive percent, because I'm in the happy position in retirement of having an adequate pension, and I can give. It all belongs to God. It's the thought process that says, not take 10%, give it to God, the rest mine. It's all God's. What do I need? The rest is for him. Be organised with money, and I know people cringe at this and say, it's all right, you're an accountant, but when we look at our debt service here, people come up with a budget. You say, how much is your income? Well, they know what their income is. We're constantly short of money. We'll list your expenses, and the gap between income and expenses is massive. Massive. Where's it all gone? Oh, I don't know. I never have any money left. But I don't know where it goes. I've listed all my expenses. Well, yes, but you started with £1,000 worth of income and the expenses come to £748. What's happened to the other 250? Well, be organised with money. Be aware of the needs of others. Live a life, I believe, that says, I'm looking, is there a need? Is there something I can do to help, to relieve a situation? And today there's probably more need than there's been for a long, long time. And finally, pray. And again, I pray daily and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Thank God daily, but say, Lord, what would you have me do? I'm the steward. I'm the leaseholder. What would you have me do? And finally, does God despise wealth? There was a man named Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the council, a good, upright man. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Clearly, Joseph was not short of a bob or two. He was a leading man. And he had a key role in taking the body of Jesus and putting it in his family tomb, I guess. Does God despise wealth? I don't see any evidence of that. The women that went round with Jesus, that kept the show on the road, were women that had a bit of substance behind them. It wouldn't be cheap, that group of Christians that went round with Jesus. I see no sign anywhere in the Bible of God despising wealth. It's the greed, it's the my, it's the I that is despised. And in today's world, there's some wonderful people, certainly in my life, as a trustee of some charities, it's wonderful to know there are people like, well, Brian Souter at Stagecoach, the big transport company. He and his sister formed it. I dread to think how many tens of millions they're worth. But my, do they give. Do they give. It isn't just the odd £100. They'll give £100,000 very happily. to a situation where there's real need. God uses the wealth. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, you know, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? That's where your heart's going to be. Does God despise wealth? No. Jesus looked round. He said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is hard because it's mine. It's mine. I'm going to protect it. I can give a little bit here or a bit there, but it's mine. And I need whatever it may be. Certainly I need a bit more. Therefore, said Jesus, it's difficult. He looked around, said to himself, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't say it's impossible for them. It's hard for them because they're so concerned with my and I. Greed. Greed, the thing that so easily clogs us up. The parable of the sower scattered the seed. Some seed fell amongst the weeds and it never made it. It never made it. Wealth choked it. It didn't get there. It's a great blessing to have wealth. And it's wealth that needs to be used in the service of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good things that all of us sitting here this morning have. And we simply ask that you will show us what we should do. Father, help us to be good, conscientious stewards, to be leaseholders, to appreciate, we know already, but to appreciate that we take nothing with us. Help us, Father, that we may not be those who find it difficult to enter the kingdom of heaven because we're clogged up with riches. And we ask it in Jesus' name.